and welcome to the podcast where you will heal the relationship with yourself, unlearn the limiting beliefs that tell you it's better to blend in than stand out, and realize that you are more than enough. You are incredible. I am your host, Susan Padron, an intuitive personal stylist and award-winning author featured in InStyle and many publications accessible all over the world. I am a tattooed queer mom who is showing up to give you the gentle nudge or emotional hug, whichever you need, so that you can give yourself the permission to be you. This is the Susan Padron Podcast. So I'd like to start off by saying that this episode may be triggering for some, because we will be talking about our bodies and the complicated relationships we have with them. If you're not comfortable with this topic, I encourage you to skip this episode, and it will be here for you if or when you're ready. Oh, bodies. We are so hard on you. Physically and emotionally, we're rough on our bodies. And it starts when we're young, before we're even really aware of what's happening physically. I think back to when I was a little kid, and I never wanted to wear sunscreen. I spent so much of my time outside and fought my mom because I didn't want to stop and take 2 seconds to protect my skin from the sun. Granted, somehow my skin rarely even burned when I was a kid. I don't really know how that happened because now I can't spend any extended period of time outside without sunblock. Otherwise, I'll end up with sunburn and some pretty interesting tan lines. So continuing on the topic of being physically neglectful towards my body, I'm pretty sure that I didn't properly start hydrating myself until several years after college. Ooh, and college. Yikes. Thank goodness for my temperamental stomach. Otherwise, Easy mac and cheese would have become a long-term staple in my diet. I don't think I even need to get into a discussion around poor decisions surrounding cheap alcohol. All I will say about that is that it took me a long time before I could use hand sanitizer and not have the smell remind me of the cheap vodka we would buy. Despite treating my body poorly, it continued on, like it knew that I'd figure it out eventually. So thankfully, my health has taken a much bigger priority in my life now that I'm in my 30s and I'm also a mom. And it's amazing how motivating it can be to take better care of yourself when you are also caring for a human that you created. I don't just want to be around for him. I want to be able to enjoy our time together too. I also use sunscreen now, like a real grown-up most of the time. And I hydrate constantly. My food choices have improved significantly, although I do love pizza and ice cream. And when I occasionally indulge in alcohol, it no longer reminds me of any cleaning products. So that feels like a win. So moving on now to messed up thoughts I had around food and exercise. When I was younger, probably until I was in my early 30s, I thought I had to earn in air quotes, food by exercising or exercise more because of what I ate. Like, oh, we're going to go to Iron Hill later and I want to have nachos and beer. Better get on the treadmill and do an extra mile. And I still hear people in my life make comments like that about themselves and I roll my eyes. I'm not even apologetic about it. Food does not have to be earned. You're not a dog doing tricks for a treat. You're a grown-ass adult capable of making choices for yourself. You can choose what you're eating just like you can choose to exercise. Exercise should not have to happen as a consequence to what you eat. If you're going to have complex thoughts about indulging in dessert, go to therapy. I'm a strong supporter of therapy here, and work through those thoughts. In the meantime, ask yourself why those feelings are coming up for you. What does it mean to you to eat dessert without feeling guilty or exercising more? I want you to challenge the origin of the thought and start creating a new path. It took me some time and a lot of work, but now I exercise because I like feeling stronger and flexible in my body. Movement and exercise help me feel grounded. Moving my body is a huge priority for me in my life now, but the reasons have changed. So 7 years ago, I started running because my anxiety was out of control. I became dependent on running to try to manage my anxiety attacks. And it really didn't work long term, especially since I would feel more anxious if I knew I wouldn't be able to fit in a run that day. I was able to receive treatment for my anxiety. I changed careers. Go back to episode 1 for that story if you missed it. And also allowed my relationship with exercise and my body to change. My other reasons for daily movement include one dog that requires daily walks to keep her sane, and an elderly dog that needs walks for physical therapy. Pet responsibilities aside, I feel good when I move my body. Now let's dive into the emotional ways we're guilty of being hard on ourselves. Now, I have worked with hundreds of clients that range from needing to wear kids' clothes to plus sizes, and everything in between. And it doesn't matter what size they are, what their bodies look like. When we first start working together, they come to me hating at least part of their body or feeling shame around their body. Why? So many reasons. Here are a few of the reasons why people hate or feel shame around their bodies. They gained weight. They lost weight. They're not the size they used to be. Their religious upbringing, cultural influences, the media they consume. Their mom always negatively comments on what they're wearing. If any skin is visible, someone in their life tells them to cover up. Social media filters. Their very opinionated partner makes them feel bad about their body. Their children are very critical of how they look. They have preconceived ideas about how someone their age or size should look. And I could keep going. Out of all the reasons I listed, how many times did you nod your head like, "Ooh, yeah, that's me"? It's sad, isn't it? Really, what all of those reasons can be broken down to are these three things: people in your inner circle's beliefs, people in your outer circle's beliefs, and the influence and impact you allow them to have on you. In order to rewire your brain, you have to take the power away, the impact of your people's beliefs. Stop allowing their opinions to make you feel bad about yourself. For example, you're about to leave for an event. You know what you chose is appropriate for the dress code required. What you're wearing really brings you joy. You walk downstairs and your spouse says, "That's what you're wearing?" Now take a breath and don't allow yourself to shrink here. Instead, you're going to say with all of the joy you can muster, "Yes, I love it. It's so perfect for tonight. I feel so good in it and I can't wait to show it off. Thanks for helping me really see that." And keep walking. Not only will their power over you diminish in this moment, but they will be so flustered they won't even have a response. Even if you don't fully believe what you just said, it will help you to get there over time. You're taking away the influence of others and you're training your brain to feel good about yourself. It's a pretty impressive power move, if you ask me. If you're listening to this right now and you feel like I've been narrating your life, I strongly encourage you to try this next exercise on your own and begin implementing it ASAP. This is an exercise that will help you to grow your own power, your own confidence. It's a great first step. Okay, so you're going to think about at least one part of your body that you like. Maybe you even love that part. Or maybe it's just part of your body that you don't hate whenever you fall on that emotional spectrum the next time you get dressed. I encourage you to plan an outfit around highlighting that part of your body. This is going to require some thought, which is why I'm giving you this task now, so you have some time to think and plan and get those wheels turning. If trying to find a part of you that you like feels too much right now because of where you are in your body neutrality, body positivity journey, then just find something in your closet that you really love and plan an outfit around that. And when you do that, what happens is you are tricking your brain into feeling better about your body without having the emphasis be on your body. It's on the pair of shoes, the jewelry, the clothing item that you chose instead. If you were able to find part of your body that you want to highlight, then what that does is it allows your brain to start thinking positive or even just neutral thoughts about the rest of your body because you feel good. But let's back up for a minute. So there are some terms that I used earlier that I would like to just briefly explain. The first term you've probably heard at least before, and that's body positivity. Body positivity is typically used to describe a way of embracing self-love, specifically around your body, regardless of size, shape, etc. And it was a term that came out to really fight against all of the rampant fat phobia that is constantly bombarding everyone everywhere. The other term that I use that you may not be familiar with is body neutrality. Body neutrality is the perfect bridge between all of the negative thoughts that we can have about ourselves and our bodies and bridging that to body positivity. With the idea that body positivity may not be achievable every day, but you also aren't really feeling terrible about yourself that day, and that's actually a win. Feeling neutral about the situation or about your body is a win when it's a step up from feeling so negative about yourself. It allows for you to understand that some days you're going to feel really great and other days you might not. And the in-between is a good thing. It's an important part of the healing process. Sometimes we just get so focused on the end result that we don't count our wins along the way. But those wins are just as important because they help you stay motivated and continue along your healing process. A lot of us go through periods of our lives where we're constantly thinking, wouldn't it feel better if I lost 5 to 10 pounds? And this question surrounding losing weight is often triggered by our old clothes in our closet that no longer fit. They're two sizes too small, at least 5 years old, but we're still saying, if we just lost the weight. But here's the thing. Size and body shape are totally irrelevant here. While I don't like to limit the way that I talk about people to the gender binary, for the sake of this conversation, I feel like it's somewhat necessary. Women are conditioned from a very early age that smaller is better. We are told to take up less space, we should ask for less, expect less, but do more. Like thinness is the ultimate goal, but it's not. If we're being honest with ourselves, myself 100% included in this, I can look back at old photos of myself and just as easily as I can think, oh my gosh, I wish I still looked like that, I can also say that I remembered feeling self-conscious at that time too, because it's not about your size or how much you weigh. It's about how you feel about yourself. We tend to feel stuck with our style because we're not connected with the new version of ourselves that we are now. We're still focused on who we were, what size we used to be, what our life used to look like. That version of you has evolved, and that's something that should be celebrated. You should be excited to introduce this new you to people. Do you know how much you've done? How much you've grown? You're amazing. What if instead of talking about how much smaller our bodies used to be, like it's the ultimate life goal to get back to that size, we talk about it the same way you would tell someone your birth weight. You only mention it if someone asks, and you say it in a matter-of-fact manner, such as, when I was in my 20s, I was a size 0 or 2. When I was born, I was 7 pounds, 5 ounces. Why compare this to your birth weight? Because both are just facts about your body, and neither are requirements for your body to go back to. There's also this acceptance that your body is supposed to grow. It's supposed to change. You know what else my body was like in my 20s? Able to do multiple shots of tequila without a hangover, but I don't need to get back to that either. So why do we punish ourselves by feeling bad about our bodies? Because those old jeans don't fit anymore? It's like being mad at yourself just for being older. Like, ugh, if I was only 35 again, then I'd still fit into those jeans and then I'd feel worthy. Do you hear how awful that sounds? That's the same kind of message that you're subconsciously telling your body. This is one of the main reasons why it's so important to go through your closet and part with the clothes that no longer fit. Your closet acts as a constant negative reminder that you're uncomfortable with how your body has changed. It's your closet's way of saying, hey, good morning, your body isn't good enough. Don't forget to suck it in. Have a great day. No one needs that. So go through your closet, pull out what doesn't fit, get rid of anything that makes you feel bad about yourself, and make room for the pieces that will help you to like and hopefully love yourself. You would be shocked at how freeing it feels to just put on clothes that feel good on your body without any guilt or shame around what size it is. When I'm working with my clients in person, they don't even have to know what size they're trying on most of the time because I do the shopping for them and I pick out the clothes based on what I know about their body, what I know about the brands and the styles, and all my client has to do is try them on. And the majority of the time, it just fits and they love it. So they don't have to deal with any of the thoughts that come up when they're picking out clothes for themselves, when they're looking at the other sizes and thinking, I used to fit into that. No, they just try it on. They see how it feels on their body and they're able to decide whether or not they love it just based on how it looks and feels. They don't have to also have the added weight of knowing the size. And for my virtual clients, I tell them what sizes to purchase for the clothes so it eliminates the thought process that usually leads to decision fatigue and frustration around buying clothes, where you're saying, well, I used to wear that size, but that doesn't really fit me anymore. So maybe I should go up one size, maybe two. I don't really know. Maybe just buy it. Maybe I'll just buy a bunch. And you just get so overwhelmed and frustrated that you don't buy anything. If we just bought clothes without the emotional involvement that holds us back, that makes us feel bad about ourselves, imagine how freeing that would feel. Another potential time for being triggered about our bodies involves other people, specifically other people talking about their own body, not yours. Now, I'm going to say something and you might roll your eyes, you make that like a duh face when you hear it, but it's important and you'll understand why it's so important when I explain. Okay, so listen, someone else's opinions about their own body have nothing to do with you. When I was in college, I went to a flute masterclass with a world-renowned flutist named Jeannie Backstresser, and she said something that has really stuck with me since I heard her say it all those years ago, and she said, someone who's better than you doesn't make you worse, and someone who's worse than you doesn't make you better. So clearly she was talking about being a musician, but it absolutely applies here too. So when someone thinner than you says they feel fat or bloated or they don't like their arms, our first instinct might be, well, if they feel that way about their body, how do they feel about mine? What do they think of my body? How should I feel about my body? And we make it about us. But they don't need to compare themselves to you in order to hate their body. They do it all on their own. How many times have you seen those old photos of yourself and thought, I remember thinking I was so fat and wish I had that body? Or seeing someone else and thinking how gorgeous they are and wish you could have their confidence. It's not about them, it's about you. And now, with the seasons changing, I want to help you to liberate yourself from these feelings that are preventing you from feeling comfortable in your own skin. The way we feel about our bodies keeps us stuck in the options we choose for our clothes. You're in this cycle of, I can't wear that. I could never wear that. And I hate my fill in the blank with various parts of your body. If I just, is another statement that you're probably saying to yourself often that makes you feel unworthy of wearing what you really want to wear. The amount of clients that I have worked with who, prior to us working together, have never worn a pair of shorts because of how they feel about their legs, or they don't wear anything sleeveless because they don't like the way their arms look. It's so sad, and it breaks my heart. Don't even get me started about how everyone feels about bathing suits. Literally everyone dreads trying on bathing suits for one reason or another, because of how they feel about their body, having that much of their body exposed, how pale they feel, or they're worried that they haven't shaved recently. And then they try it. The shorts, the sleeveless top, the bathing suit, and they look freaking amazing in it. Because it's more than just about your body. It's about giving yourself permission to not hate yourself. Everything that I have been sharing with you today has led me to the creation of a workshop that I am hosting called Break Free from Body Shame. The workshop is going to be held live on Zoom on Wednesday, May 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern. And in the workshop, I will guide you through exercises and visualizations that will help you to release the shame and the self-doubt about yourself and your body. I'm going to provide a space that is safe to be and feel vulnerable. And let's talk about what a safe space looks like when we're sharing about ourselves and our bodies. A safe space is created by a leader who is open, loving, and caring, and naturally attracts others who show up with love and support. Everyone entering into that workshop will be coming from a place of vulnerability, whether they choose to share or not, and they will be witnessed without judgment. We will notice the feelings that come up and begin to process them. Any interaction with me is a judgment-free zone. My clients know from working with me. If they put something on and we're not loving it, you'll hear me say, "You have better options." If the fit isn't ideal, I'll say, "Let's try this in the next size up or down, depending on the fit." It's matter of fact because it's coming from my professional observation and your fit preferences. The drama and trauma is removed from thinking about specific size numbers or letters. These are the kind of mindset shifts that you'll be able to start to implement once you take Break Free from Body Shame. You'll walk away from the workshop with a taste of self-love and confidence. I'll present opportunities and practices that will provide you with the experience of tasting self-love. The exercises that we will do together will heal parts of you that you didn't even realize were wounded in the first place. But once you identify them, you'll really be able to grow. I want you to consider what you've been missing out on because of how you feel about your body. What kinds of things are you not pursuing because of the discomfort you have with yourself and your body? Think back to all the times you used, "When I lose 5 more pounds, then I will," as an excuse to not pursue something you wanted. Even if that something is as simple as just wearing shorts or a bathing suit, or going on a date, or stepping up for a promotion, stop allowing yourself to hold you back. The workshop is priced at an incredibly affordable $77, and I chose the number 77 because in numerology, 77 symbolizes healing and creativity and determination, which are all things that I truly believe that this workshop will inspire for you. By investing the $77, it's you making the formal commitment to your healing and growth by breaking free of what you've been holding on to for far too long. The Break Free from Body Shame workshop will be held live on May 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern. Recordings will be sent to anyone who registers but can't attend live. And if you're listening to this episode after May 31st, don't worry, because the recording is going to be available for purchase on my website as well. Everything will be linked in the show notes, so go ahead and register or grab the recording at your convenience. So I want to leave you with these final thoughts about confidence and your healing journey with yourself and your body. Confidence comes from knowing what you like and releasing the weight of other people's opinions. When you put on an outfit, and you know you like it, stop your brain right there. It doesn't have to go any farther than that. If you feel good, you like it, people won't question it. That's it. Your inner power, your confidence is stronger than anyone else's opinion about you. You got this, and I'm honored to help you get there. Thanks for taking the time to listen. The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts.